Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of Radio Radar. 10 episodes in.
Double digits.
Double
digits. I didn't think it was going to happen.
No one did.
I did not think.
Especially not you. You, every day, you reminded us. Every day, Tom Agrino, you reminded us you're not going to make it to 10.
You're not going to make it to 10 years old.
No, yeah, that's no. It's the same thing you've told every child you've ever met.
Yeah, I'd be like...
Slowly do like the
buddy,
thumb across the throat motion.
You're never gonna
make it to 10. Bright and chipper, but guess what? You'll probably be dead tomorrow. The odds are against you, is all I'm saying.
That pretty much sums up your life. Who else is in studio today?
Henry Gilbert. I believed in this podcast. Could make it to 10. 15, we'll see. But
yeah, 15's a rough one. That's pushing it.
Ryan Teljanek.
How you doing, Ryan? And this is your
fantastic.
First full week in the office, right?
It is, yeah.
Not the first time on the podcast, though.
No, second time.
Yes.
Right. Maybe
what
one day
do?
I'll make it
what
to
do
double
do for
digits.
The 10 episode anniversary. Like, two is like wood.
Under the table hand job.
Three.
Yes. It's my favorite kind.
I am moving
I don't think any of us have been on all 10 episodes. So
what's that?
None of us have been on 10 episodes.
No, it's true.
So later episode, we'll have to deal with that inevitability.
Am I at nine?
I think we're all at nine.
You two are at nine. I was gone
at like five.
Yeah. Well, because I was just gone for 3 weeks when
yes.
we recorded.
I'm Hollander Cooper, by the way.
How many hours of my life is that?
Like seven.
Nine episodes?
900 episodes.
Nine times nine is nine. Plus 81. Half
an hour. How does math work?
Everyone's ears are alive with the energy in this room right now.
I need someone out there. Write in radioradar.com. No, radioradar@gamesradar.com. Write in. Tell me how many hours I've wasted on this damn podcast.
And then you'll be able to know how many hours you've wasted listening to it.
Right.
So we have a pretty packed show today. This show is packed with goodness. And if you listen the whole way through, we're going to tell you how you can win a copy of Pokemon
Black and White 2, or White version 2. Oh,
that's
white version
right.
2.
And it's, again, the fact that every time you give the chance, you choose white over black is not boding well for the
I just
for
replaced
this
the black version. That's all.
Oh, wow.
I went black.
Yeah, he prefers it black.
Just, you can't go back.
Choice.
No, no option.
I've committed at this point.
Black one. You can't go back.
Committed.
You have to do black two.
The commitment has been made. So yeah, we have some reviews, some previews, including something different, a movie preview.
Ooh. Crazy.
It's crazy. But before that, let's jump right into the top seven, which this week is the top seven totally unrealistic things that games do all the motherfucking time. I took motherfucking out of the headline for the article.
It was implied.
I
got that sense when I looked at it.
Starting with number seven, eating food to gain health.
I loved when you were writing this feature. You're like, God, is there any game in which you eat food to gain health? And then everybody was just like,
I think we said seven. We said like eight games in a row.
Asked
and then you're
for
like,
a
okay.
specific example.
Oh.
Okay, so one of my most memorable is in Streets of Rage, punching the shit out of metal trash cans so they bust open and there's a fucking roasted turkey just ready for you to eat.
Absolutely,
it's been put there
or an apple
for you.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Pizza.
With the whole pizza thing.
Yeah. That said, they are mutants.
They are mutants.
So
that makes
they
sense.
They don't need to worry about bacteria.
No. Skyrim. Skyrim's one of the best just because not only are you fighting a dragon that you can pause time, not even using the pause time shout, pause time and like you're about to die and you just eat like 90 ears of corn.
Hang on. Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm eating every apple in my inventory.
If you ate 80 apples, I can only imagine the behemoth shit that would come out of that Dovahkiin.
That would be rough.
He'd scream, and it would just be like a vomit burp.
Although,
It would just be all over.
Dishonored has you eating all sorts of, like, bloodwurst sausage.
That look like they might kill you if you try and eat them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one we actually want the picture from is Dead Rising. And I like how it's, like, it's a mechanic in Dead Rising that you have to eat to keep living, but it just probably shouldn't be directly related to your health.
Is that vegetable oil?
No, that's orange juice, one of the more powerful ones. Dead Rising particularly has a weird thing where it's like you could eat raw steak or you could cook the steak and it'll give you 2 extra health points back. And you can also mix drinks and more than a few times, like I was stuck and really hurt, but in a bar. And so a beer will heal you one. But if you drink more than 3 alcoholic drinks, you just start throwing up for 4 minutes. And so
he's a lightweight.
Yeah, you take 4 steps, bleh, and while you're throwing up, a zombie will attack you.
So you just have to hide in the bar and get totally trashed?
What is the best game that's done alcohol? I remember in the original BioShock quests, you would drink like a bunch of alcohol, and then the game would just go all.
World of Warcraft. If you drink a bunch of alcohol, it does that.
Same thing.
And but in World of Warcraft, also, I think
alters
if you
your
type,
text. It does.
It would just like slur
oh, really?
Your. It just goes like you can type whatever, and it just comes out like you'd be
That's
like, I just drank alcohol, and it would just be like, I just.
EverQuest may have done that too. I could be wrong.
Hmm.
EverQuest did it first.
Yep. Yeah, it did.
It did.
Fuck World.
Yeah. Number six. And also, on a lot of these are in Skyrim, carrying hundreds of pounds of items totally unencumbered.
Yeah. No, my favorite, though, is when even, like, some games, like Skyrim, puts those weight restrictions on. What about the RPGs that, like, you can carry a certain number of items instead of weight? So it's like
99 things.
99 swords, but that one extra, like, fuck, I can't move anymore.
99 swords, and I'm trying to remember what game it was recently, but it's Resident Evil, where it's like, you can carry 7 things, and it's like, my gun is
out
of ammo.
Pull that shotgun on my ass.
No, it's like, my gun is out of ammo, there's ammo for the gun on the floor, but it is so heavy that I can't just put that ammo in this gun.
You have to unencumber yourself and then re-encumber yourself.
But when you drop stuff, it disappears.
Oh,
so it's just like, if this gun was in this, if the ammo was in this gun, perfectly fine. Ammo on its own, far too heavy.
That's quite the difficult choices.
Yeah, and then the other thing is like with Diablo, it's like there's no weight, but there's a size requirement, which at first you're like, that actually makes more sense. And then you realize you're like, wait, I could carry like 30 potions or 100, or like 30 swords.
Right.
So it actually doesn't end up making much more sense.
Well, I think it's even sillier in the Elder Scroll games where you're carrying a lot of stuff, and then one person could give you like an extra leaf, and that could put you over your weight limit. And like, nope, I can't move.
Then you just sit there and you're like, stuff. How many wizard robes am I carrying? 62? 62
really
is too many.
The way, you know, like Dungeons & Dragons handled it perfectly. Bag of holding. You open up a alternate dimension. I mean, that's
basically... Those are super expensive, though.
That's basically what all the games are basing their inventory system.
I honestly, go big or go home. What is the reasoning behind restrictions? Because what
balance.
People do... Like, well, people just end up, like, hoarding a bunch of shit, dropping it off, and then going and picking up more stuff. Like, why can't we
probably
just
also, imagine in Skyrim, if you didn't have a limit... You'd be like, I have to go get that item in my inventory. Right. 700 swords.
Well, that's your own fault for picking up that much junk.
Yeah, I mean, it is probably a balance issue, and it's probably also just like the...
Memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Your save file would be ridiculous if you could carry an infinite number of swords.
Point. Yeah, that is a good point.
Number five, leveling up. Just alone leveling up. Mm-hmm. And that on a note, that leveling up's probably like... I understand why it's in games, and some games... try really hard. Like, I think Elder Scrolls actually, it's like if you use a bow, you get better at using a bow. But then when it comes to like World of Warcraft or a lot of other RPGs, it's like, hey man, you did a great job fishing. You now have laser eyes. Like,
yeah.
Everything drops the same experience into the same bucket, and then you can just use that bucket of experience to do whatever you want.
Though I remember when I played Morrowind, like, it was. I would jump every fourth step to increase my agility.
Just smashing, jump.
That's the entire way I played Oblivion.
There was a glitch in Oblivion where, in like the first cave, there was a slope that if you stood on it, you'd slowly fall.
Yeah.
And if you would crouch, your sneak would just go all the way up in the beginning cave.
I made a macro in Morrowind to where you would just repeatedly jump, and I'd put my character up a stairwell but against a wall, so he'd just jump into the wall over and over. Come back like a couple hours later and bam, maxed
athleticism. Wasted about $100 in energy that will never.
I would do that in any MMO that would have like early on issues with kicking people out of the game and having queues to get back in. I'd create a macro that would just like spin me in circles and make me say something.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
wouldn't level me up though.
What makes less sense is such as the case of the screenshot you have there with like Shepard in the first game maxing out and then having no skills in the second game.
Yeah,
well he was
well
like,
you get
basically...
you get them if you
I mean, yeah
he
you, was... I, oh well Mass Effect is just a example basically
yes, yes,
any
yes,
game
yes.
in which you're continuing the character and then he just suddenly becomes an inept child.
Yeah or just any game like Mass Effect where it's like it's a science fiction game and suddenly. Because you killed one more alien, you can force push.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't really make... Like, in fantasy, you can kind of suspend disbelief, but once you add science into it, it ends up being sort of confusing.
Mm.
Number four, and this is actually the thing that inspired the entire list.
Oh, this is a good one.
Jumping out of water.
Physically impossible.
Yep. Yes. Somebody,
but you can do
somebody
it all
sent
the time.
Somebody sent me a video of BJ Penn of UFC fame doing it, but he's in the shallow end of the water... And he's able to jump out. Still a remarkable feat. But the thing that I'm talking about is, like, you have to swim to the side that's the deeper side where you can't touch the ground, and then just jumping out of the water.
As
almost every MMO
force.
Does it.
Yep.
Mario. Mario does it all the time.
I was just trying to think of what other games outside of MMOs and Mario.
I think most platformers kind of did. 3D platformers, they have to. Some of the more down-to-earth ones make you have to walk to the edge of the thing, and then they pull themselves out.
Shooter, I feel like shooters used to do it, too.
I mean, it's kind of like where, like, a first-person game, I would imagine you're climbing out. Like, I don't know if jumping out.
But
is
I mean,
really
I don't have an issue with climbing out. I have an issue of when you're like in the middle of the ocean and you just jump.
Oh, jump.
Yep.
That's the like climbing out of water is fine. Even if you're like near the edge, it's like okay. Then I guess they just didn't feel like animating it. But it's when like you're in an MMO, which you spend 90% of just pounding on the space bar to jump anyway, and you're just like, I'm jumping up and down in the water. What about it?
Yeah.
One of the commenters was like. Yeah, when I was younger and dumber, totally tried this because of video games and was super confused when I couldn't do it.
Pulled my ACL.
Yes. Ruined my life.
I don't think you can actually pull an ACL. But
just the double jump alone is silly enough, but jumping out of water.
See, I kind of forgive the double jump. And the reason the double jump isn't on here, because it got a lot of comments asking about it, is because games have made desperate attempts to justify the double jump.
Right.
They'll give you wings or they'll let you, like... That, like, Samus has a jetpack, so the second jump is the jetpack kicking in.
Or in DMC, Dante's got demon powers, so he can just do it because it's magic.
But then it's like when you go to, like, God of War before he got the Wings of Icarus, he could just jump again. And, like, Yoshi, he just tries really hard and jumps again. But I still think that, like, more recently, you're still seeing as many games letting you jump out of water, which is essentially the water version of double jump, like jumping off of nothing, and it's awful. And hilarious. Number three, reloading without losing the ammo in the wasted magazine.
There are some games who do this.
Very few. Arma, apparently. What Arma does is you take out, like, let's say you use 5 bullets out of 20, and you reload. You take that 15-bullet clip and put it away, and later you'll pull out a clip that has 15 bullets. Apparently, Borderlands, one of the gun types, does that. Like, if you throw away the gun, you lose all the bullets. But, like, a majority of military shooters, even, like, Call of Duty... Battlefield, you have essentially a bucket of bullets, and when you want, it's like an ice cream. You like your magazine is an ice cream cone, and you just scoop up the bullets and shove it into your gun.
I just like the mental image of like reaching into your pocket full of loose bullets.
Another interesting going alongside this too. Another thing is like, even if you had unlimited bullets, you'd still. Like, magazines are very finite. Like, if you just toss one out, you're like, well, there goes that magazine. Like, you probably don't have...
I think one of the commenters pointed that as like, I don't even think you're supposed to throw magazines away.
No, like...
Like, you're supposed to save those and fill them with bullets.
Them, yeah.
It just doesn't really make any sense. Also, while researching this, I apparently found out that some people get really pissed off because a majority of people who don't know guns say, like, oh, it's a clip.
Right.
Apparently, that's not true. A clip is, like, a thing you use to fill a magazine.
Oh.
Huh. Magazines are also very expensive.
They are, so there's no reason to throw them away.
So if you had like a 9mm, the collection of bullets that you shove into the handle, that's a clip, but the thing that's a... whatever.
No, like, the metal thing you shove into the gun is a magazine.
Right.
The like grouping of bullets that is a like held by a thing that you shove into the magazine is a clip.
Okay. So in the movies, when somebody has, like, not handguns, they go, like, give me a clip. That is correct.
Well,
probably.
Let's clarify.
Gun show!
Clarify real
Welcome
quick.
Welcome to the gun show.
The magazine is the physical metal thing that you shove into the gun.
It's part of a gun, essentially.
I'm confused as to what people are trying to say, because, I've shot...
A full clip? It's basically just shooting all of the bullets that you've just loaded.
Yeah, the clip is essentially a word for all of the bullets.
Right. Hmm.
A magazine is the metal part of a gun.
Okay, I thought you were talking about a physical reloading tool that reloads a magazine. I was like, I don't know of that.
No, magazine, clip, get with the times, you idiot.
God.
Number two.
I'm regenerating health.
Regenerating health.
I'm surprised this wasn't number one.
There's a reason, and you'll find out when you get to number one. But regenerating health is essentially when you're playing Call of Duty and you get shot and your screen gets covered in jelly. So this has happened. So I guess Halo 1 was one of the first really popular shooters that had it. Mm-hmm. And it gave you the shield. And underneath the shield, you still had finite health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you go back to like old Battlefield, like 1942, you did have health. That's why you needed to...
Well, Battlefield, you still have health.
Yeah, you still have health.
Duty 2 pad regenerating health. That was definitely one of the first ones.
Okay.
Yeah, so there were games that it's still a fairly new thing as far as gaming's concerned, because you used to just have health.
Well, it's interesting to me is that like when regenerating health first came out, I remember there being a lot of people like, "Oh wow, this is awesome! Like I don't have to pick up med packs anymore." And now it's kind of reversed almost because it's like, man, regenerating health is weird and dumb. Like,
that doesn't make it. That is not realistic. You know what's realistic? Walking over a cross and then suddenly being healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember there being like a little bit of a different attitude toward that mechanic.
Yeah, it's definitely because I think people have a weird nostalgic feel for like walking over health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I think it just got popularized in the last generation because it just gets more. It makes the game more fun for most people. Like they don't have to worry about dying as much. They can be playing Gears of War or the dozens of games that copied it, and just be, oh, my screen is getting too red. I'll just duck and wait for it to not be red.
And
anymore.
There's no more of the situation which you'd have in a lot of games, and even like Max Payne, and you still had it. Like when you had to have it happen in Max Payne 3, it's just like, wow, this is still a thing. Where like you're like, I have no health left. I am not going to survive no matter what I do because in the next room someone's going to graze me with a bullet.
Max Payne 3, to me at least, seemed kind of like a rarer case because I think the mentality behind the regenerating health was just like, well, they're going to really easily find a med pack anyway, so we might as well just make it still tense and give them the chance to just duck. But yeah, Max Payne 3 was pretty intense and grueling.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but it's like it's one of those things that you forget was a part of games where you'd be like, well, I have 3 health left out of 100. If I walk into the next room, I'm dead, so I need to spend the next 10 minutes trying to backtrack and find a health pack I missed.
Yeah.
But regenerating health itself, even though I like it more, makes very little sense because it's the idea that if you get shot and you just fucking cool your jets for a minute, just it'll be K. Right. Just take a breather. Take five. That bullet will heal itself. Everyone essentially has Wolverine superpower. Yeah.
Those 4 Magnum rounds I took are really hurting, but if I just crouch long enough.
Whoa, that was close.
Did the old Hitmans have regenerating health? The reason I ask is
God, I just played Blood Moon
I remember
last
that
night.
Hitman 1 had bullet holes, and if you got shot in the face, you would just have a gigantic gaping bullet hole in your face.
Blood Money, I know, is regenerating. I don't recall.
Probably didn't go that far back. But
you
the
know,
reason
Batman didn't have regenerating. I was trying to think of one recent huge game that didn't have regenerating health, and Batman didn't. Like
it didn't?
I don't think it wait, did it.
There certainly weren't health packs in Batman.
Yeah.
There were, because if you got shot at, you would just zoom around.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Dishonored.
It absolutely did have
Dishonored
didn't,
one.
And I felt like it was worse for it. But
oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't like the fact that I have to walk around eating food to regenerate my health.
Not best.
The food
not
was
best.
Silly, but I didn't mind the lack of...
Yeah. XCOM does not have regenerating
number
health.
Number one!
Number one, and the reason that regenerating health did not get number one is because seeing around corners without looking, to me, is more widespread and unrealistic and more infrequently explained.
Yeah, and nobody really ever says anything about it.
So the idea is... Obviously, if you're in a third-person game, you have a better field of vision than the player. Right. That's a given. But the idea that that's often, almost always, in third-person games, used as a mechanic, like in Metal Gear Solid, you're hiding over around a corner, but you can see the people down the hallway.
Even though your character can't.
Even though your character can't. Or in Gears of War or any game, you're hiding in cover, so you can't see anything. You're hiding and looking in the opposite direction. But because you were in third person, you can see when the person pops up above cover far away from you so you can pop up and shoot him.
Right.
It makes no sense at all.
Nope, it doesn't.
Nope.
Doesn't.
It certainly doesn't. Agreed. And,
but then can you imagine, though, trying to play the frustrations that would probably come with playing a third person shooter that did not have that? I don't know.
Killzone was a first-person shooter that had cover and didn't go into third-person, and it was better for it, probably.
I mean, I don't even know how you would kind of...
Yeah.
What that would even look like if you were...
I guess you could switch into
first-person
if you...
Oh, I know. But maybe the games just shouldn't rely on it. Like, Metal Gear Solid, if you didn't do it, then you wouldn't be able to stealth through the game.
So, I think the thing about every single one on this list is, thank God... That games have these types
no
of
arguments.
Because every single game would be worse.
Except for the jumping out of water.
Yeah.
That is not entirely necessary to enjoy.
That's pretty benign.
Yes.
Pretty benign.
But I think that's the whole point of this is these are all totally unrealistic things that games do all the time, and thank God.
Thank God.
All right, so we'll be right back with news and some previews.
Hey everybody, this is Scott Butterworth with PlayStation Official Magazine. Come check out our new podcast, Talk Station, by searching iTunes for Talk Station. It's really good, I swear. Please listen.
And we're back. Welcome to the second segment of episode 10 of Radio. I can't believe it. 10 episodes. That's crazy.
I had KFC for lunch. I'm really sleepy. Right. I take a nap.
We basically just said, you know what? Fuck this room and everything that's happening in it.
Tom, you want to jump in the news?
I'll jump in the news. I haven't read the news at all.
Well, I remember this one that's at the top of the news, which is that Criterion has just flat out said, we're going to make another Burnout.
Yeah. So Criterion hasn't been permanently shoved onto Need for Speed duties,
EA
essentially.
Yeah, took Criterion off of Need for Speed after the just absolute off of Burnout awesomeness that was Burnout Paradise.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they were like, it was
all right, you guys are done making free shit that we can't make money off of. We need to put you on something that's actually making money. Have Need for Speed, because whatever Black Box is doing, I think it was EA Black Box.
I think so. It ain't working.
Yeah. It ain't working, and everyone there has been fired.
Yes. So please fix
oh
this.
My God.
And in the last 3 years, that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will be proven correctly again this month.
Where they basically just took the Burnout Paradise.
Well, the last one was... The last one was essentially Burnout 3, except Need for Speed. And this next one that's coming out is... Need for Speed, except Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
It's open world. You can crash shit.
You can crash.
I'd have to say, though, my favorite bit or part of this little bit of news is the little piece where they're talking about, hey, we're interested in maybe tackling Road Rash.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to say no to that.
Yeah,
except maybe EA.
I would totally play the shit out of new Road Rash.
A racing genre is difficult because it's like, how do you really innovate in this space? Like, mm-hmm. I can see going from Burnout 3 to Burnout Paradise, but where do you go from Burnout Paradise?
Maybe you just make the open... I don't know.
Yeah.
You make more... I think you essentially take all that cool shit that they put into Need for Speed Most Wanted, which was like... Or whatever the last Need for Speed was, where you're being chased by cop cars and you can be a cop car, and you make more dynamic, cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Burnout Paradise, for as much as I love it, there was a lot of emptiness.
Yeah.
Maybe you just make more stuff to do.
That's basically the game plan for every sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it the same, but with more.
But I think that Burnout was a little short on that stuff. I still think it's the best Burnout, but I think that if it could actually really have benefited from it.
But do you really want them to just make a better Burnout Paradise?
Yes. Yeah. Because Burnout Paradise is amazing.
I'm kind of thinking about what Turn 10 did with Forza, and like they went from we're just a bunch of cars racing around racetracks to just more of an open world
right
thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of exactly the route that Criterion took with Burnout.
I think the reason why EA also took them off Burnout, because I think they saw like the best-selling Burnout game has the capacity to match the worst-selling Need for Speed game. And so like Need for Speed games, they used to get like, they were 10 million sellers. They were the biggest sellers on the PS2. They were that big. Like,
was it just because when it came out, it had that movie tie-in? And like, oh, Vin Diesel may be tangentially... even around the same time?
No.
I can't remember now.
I feel Fast and Furious is connected with that. Yeah.
So is that what...
I think it's probably that it was the first few games were legitimately really good and they didn't have anything like them.
Uh-huh.
And then that's the end of what I'm saying. That's my point, I guess. There were some good games, and people will. It's the same reason that like Dynasty Warriors games still sell well. When Dynasty Warriors 1 came out, it's like, wow, there's hundreds of guys on screen.
Yeah.
And Dynasty Warriors hasn't changed in the slightest in like 10 years, and it still sells well enough. It still sells well enough that they just continually make Dynasty Warriors.
I played a disgusting amount of Dynasty Warriors 3.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I loved it.
Why?
There were hundreds of dudes on the screen.
Oh,
and you can kill them and unlock new weapons for your dudes.
Oh, man.
It was super realistic.
Yeah.
I've played about 7 Dynasty Warriors, and each time...
God. What the hell is
that? Well, half of them were for reviews, but... usually by hour 3... No, by the after the second hour, the first 2 hours of me going... this is a lot more fun than I remember. Why did I hate these games? And then after the second hour, I'm like, it's still just this.
You're like rigging some device with like rubber bands and like something that's just continuing.
Just 2 rubber bands around your analog sticks and like a hedgehog.
Right.
Just running in circles around it and pulling the wire.
Occasionally hitting, readjusting on the thumb pad.
Yes.
Or the
other big story this week, it's a little sadder, I guess, than Burnout new burnout in the way is that the Wii U manufacturer, Foxconn, also the manufacturer of iPhones and any the nearest small electronic you have access to, apparently not only are the working conditions so bad that there are suicides way too often, but they employ underaged workers.
Like 14 or 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved – so I was – I originally heard about this story on NPR, and it was oriented around the iPhone. Mm-hmm, and right. Foxconn's statement was, oh, no, it's fine. They weren't working on the iPhone. It's like
they were working on the Wii U.
Right.
Apple told us. Like, exactly. We were strictly told by Apple not to employ children anymore, so we only employ them on the non-Apple right. product.
No, we were told by Apple to not employ children working on the iPhone. So we had to move that force.
Nintendo did not have any rules
yeah,
on such
Nintendo's
a thing.
Just like, fuck, you make the Wii U, because we are balls out, yeah. out of money.
Yeah.
Well, they need those kids to work.
For Nintendo to run out of money at this point yeah, with how much money.
That's true.
They need to get those kids working really hard, because I want to have a Wii U on launch day. So I want them to get to producing stuff. But this kind of stuff happens when, if you want cheap electronics, these are the kind of stuff that happens when you.
And if you watched the debates, it was made very clear that Americans do not want those jobs by both yeah. candidates. It was just like, how are you going to get the jobs back from the people making iPhones? And both candidates are like, you fucking nuts. Do you really want to make an iPhone?
You mean make the machines that can replace the underage workers?
We can do that, maybe, yeah.
We'll sell those machines.
Is there an app to make iPhones?
But yeah, I also like that they're like, oh, yeah, it was only for 3 weeks. Like,
it's crunch time.
Yeah.
Also, is that, I mean,
it's
I'm
like
sure.
There's only 4 billion people in this country, and we're employing, you know, all the ones that aren't incredibly feeble or inept. Mm-hmm. We just had to go young.
All the ones who aren't making kung fu movies yep. are making Wii U's. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
Pretty awful.
And that's it for Radio Radar's new segment, The Racism Break. Check it out weekly. Next news story. BioWare has said that, yes, they are probably working on a new Mass Effect, uh-huh. and no, it's not going to star Shepard.
That's good.
Who's surprised?
Yeah. Well, they it's not a probably. Didn't a couple weeks ago when the doctors quit that I feel like the day either before or after EA released a statement saying, BioWare is working on a whole new series and a new entry in Mass Effect. Just don't think we're closed just because the doctors are leaving, guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So... I'm not. It can't be with Shepard. Shepard's story
is
should
over.
Be over. If they, that's what feels empty about Matt to me about Master Chief coming back in Halo 4. I was like, you could have come up with a new guy. You're given.
I want more Master Chief.
I guess.
I don't know why.
He's more interesting
like
than
Master
Shepard
Chief as much but, as I do.
Well,
like I don't. I didn't really like Halo, the original one. I don't. I never beat Halo.
I've heard you do nothing but talk shit on every Halo but the first one while talking about how much you like Halo.
I've never said I like the original Halo.
What do you? What Halo?
I like Halo 3.
Hmm.
Apparently, I'm the only
What
one.
Are you?
I don't know. I don't know why I like Halo 3. I never.
Halo 3 is a fine game.
I never played Halo 2. Wait, no, that's not true. I played some of Halo 2's single player, played some multiplayer, and for whatever reason, I just got real stupid for Halo 3, and then just became a huge Halo fanboy. So much so that I just vilified ODST and Reach because they weren't Halo.
And now no Master Chief.
I don't know what
you're essentially.
ODST
you're essentially
really
like.
Good. I don't know.
You're
how,
a bandwagon fan. You were like.
I don't know what happened.
You're like the guy who just like you never pay attention to sports until your team's in the playoffs, and then you're like, "Let's go!" Fuck you guys for not being fans the whole time. Yeah, look at me, Reach. That's not Halo enough.
I feel like 2007 is enough to make me out school.
Let's go, Giants.
You jumped it. You jumped in on the third entry.
But there are like that's kind of the midway point in the entries.
Being followed by two spin-offs doesn't make that the midway point.
ODST was really good, but Reach was like such missed potential,
I could not get past the first hour of Reach.
Dude, ODST had that awesome jazz that played almost nonstop throughout the entire game because someone went like, noir? Yeah.
The only reason why I played all of ODST was because co-op. I was doing it with somebody. And then it was just like the peer pressure to keep going. Doing it with somebody.
I played through it because it was essentially Firefly Reunion.
Yeah. No,
they were just like, and then at one point there's just Alan Tudyk. They're like, can you fly this thing? He's like, I don't know. I've never been a good pilot. And then he literally leans out of the television and winks at you. It's wonderful.
I don't know why we're talking about Halo, but Mass Effect, where would you want this to go?
I want to go earlier. So I essentially want what failed miserably with Dragon Age 2. So Dragon Age 2 was like, let's take the same methodology of presenting a the world is ending story and the same decision making and stuff, except make it a more personal story. So it's about your world and the people you meet, but you still have a huge influence. They fucked that up.
Yeah.
But I still want that. Like, I want maybe like you're on a space station and the entire game involves the events of that space station and almost like whatever, Cornwall, Corwall.
Cornwallis?
The city in Dragon Age 2?
Oh my god, I can't remember the name of
it. I'm going with Cornwall. Shit. I know it's not Cornwall. I think the word wall is
definitely not
it.
Cornwall.
I'm going with Cornwall. But I want something that's sort of like that, where it's like maybe you're working for different factions within the space station.
Kirkwall.
I was not that far off.
Pretty good.
I was close. So I want that, but I still want it to have that same epic feel, except I don't want it to be like,
I mean,
and if we don't save the space station, the entire universe goes down.
They really painted themselves in the corner by going like the threat that cannot be outdone.
I want Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Of Mass Effect. I want, like, the space station. I want, like, the Citadel stories.
But Mass Effect 3 leaves the universe in a very different place, though.
Not Mass Effect Extended Cut, which is, like, it literally is, like, here's the end of the game you saw, and here's everyone rebuilding and high-fiving.
I mean,
but they're all stuck on Earth, though.
Undoubtedly, what's going to happen is we're going to get, like, the Protheon story, or going, like, super way back far.
I could see them going back to the Rachni Wars.
I'm so tired of prequels. Everything's a damn prequel.
Does this sound like a rant from Hank?
No.
Damn it.
I'll say that for a week when this prequel comes.
I was so excited.
Yeah, I'll save it for one of the weeks when this prequel comes.
It was
going
to happen organically.
Yeah.
It's just so lame to me that, like, this
sounds like a rant.
This generation has gone on way too long, so everybody has to put out a fourth game in these series. So we have God of War Ascension, the third prequel in the God of War series, plus a Gears of War prequel, which can't possibly work with the stupid, the way the chainsaw guns work in the story they created. And I'm just so tired of it. I want to go forward or make a new game. Don't give me a fourth game just because this system lasted a year longer than you predicted it to. Ugh.
Wow.
Harsh words. I can just feel the anger exuding.
Do you feel better now, though?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's all that matters. Do you want to move on to something that I know you're going to feel a lot better about?
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah!
So, the movie, Henry and I both had a chance to see the entire Wreck-It Ralph movie, and while we can't give our full review, I think we're allowed to do everything else.
Except for spoiling three things, which I will spoil now. No. It was fun to pretend.
Turns out he's a guy in a suit. Two, turns out that suit guy's an alien. Three, turns out he's a robot. Boom!
It was fun to pretend to be a film reviewer for a night and pretend we work in a totally different medium.
But yeah, we both saw the movie, and I know we're not allowed to technically review it, but I think I'm allowed to say it was really, really fucking cool.
I liked it a whole lot. So, I wouldn't put it on the level of my favorite Pixar films, but I thought it was really funny.
But I definitely put it over the last, like, two Pixar films.
Over Cars 2 and
Brave.
Yes, I would put it over Brave. I think Brave had good moments, but I put it over Brave.
Yeah, so essentially, if you haven't seen anything about it, it's Toy Story, except instead of toys, it's video game characters in an arcade. They all have their own, they live in their own games, they deal with their own stuff, but then they can meet in a hub world and technically go between worlds, even though they're really not supposed to, because if you die in somebody else's game, you don't respawn.
I totally love the idea of a movie that gathers a bunch of characters instead of just trying to focus on a certain franchise, because all of those movies usually suck terribly.
Well, this is really much like Roger Rabbit. It makes up a new guy who pretty much, just like Roger Rabbit is pretty much Bugs Bunny, Ralph is 100% Donkey Kong. And
yes.
Felix, his enemy, or in the game anyway, is pretty much Mario. And
yep.
They've had this relationship for 30 years, and now Ralph is finally asking himself, I'm tired of being the bad guy. I want to be the hero for once. I want to be rewarded at the end of the game.
And the thing that makes it so interesting is it's not even just I want to be the hero because I want to see what that feels like. It's more just like I want people not to be mean to me.
Yeah.
at the beginning of the movie, it's like, oh, this is the 30th anniversary of our game, and he hears that there's a party going on, and he shows up, and everyone's just like pissed at him for showing up, and he's just like, hey, I'm just going to hang out and eat some cake. And they're like, no. Like, they're just like, you're the bad guy. He's like, but I live, like, why are you, like, this is a video game. Like, it's almost like he's like, this is a video game. Why are you treating me like an asshole?
Oh, such horrible school memories.
Yeah. It's, wait, did you wreck it?
I did.
Or did they just say, like, you're not
with my presence.
You're not invited. No Homer's Club.
But the thing that made it especially cool was the fact that it, to me, felt like it was made by people who truly got video games. Mm-hmm. And that's really rare. I mean, if you watch, like, any television show where somebody plays video games, they'll fuck it up.
Yeah.
They'll use the wrong controller. They'll hold it upside down.
Watching Parenthood a couple days ago.
Yeah, how'd they do it?
The little adopted kid. Are you laughing at me for what? Man, I have a wife, all right? What do you got?
I'm not judging.
I'm not judging. But no, the little kid's is playing the Xbox, Forza or something. The controller's not on. It's like, I know what it looks like when the controller, there's like a little red, that ring,
well,
you know.
Well, I was watching Malcolm in the Middle, and one of the kids is playing a Game Boy, and there's no game cartridge in it.
I hate it more when you hear like bleep, bloop, bleep on like a modern game. It still sounds like an Atari.
See, I wanted this to be a feature, and Coop was like, no!
I'm down with it for later. I just didn't want to do it.
Give us ideas. Radio Radar listeners, write in with your most egregious pop culture video game fuck-up.
I have mine, and I want to find it again. It's from The Son of the Mask with Jamie Kennedy. There's a scene where he's riding a passenger seat of a car playing a Game Boy Advance SP, which, remember, is the one that closed, sort of like the 3DS or the DS. And he's holding it with – try to picture holding it with your thumbs underneath it. And almost typing on it with your fingers like it's a keyboard.
Wow.
Like, I think, like, 3 inches from his face.
I mean, I wonder if they're just, like, intentionally griefing people by, like, we're gonna mess it up.
I feel like the actor should have told the director, I hold that Penny Arcade poster?
Where,
yes.
Yeah, so it's something like that.
Where, like, yeah, like, he's holding the Xbox. One of them's holding an Xbox controller sideways, like, he's driving, and the other one's using a joystick or something.
One of the worst ones I can recall is it's from one of the crime drama shows, and I forget which.
I bet it's Law and Order SVU.
Pretty sure.
Is that the Prince of Persia one where they're like he's held some secret codes inside of the
CSI.
Xbox,
that's
and you can only reach it by playing Prince of Persia.
You have to beat the game. Yeah, so it was original Prince of Persia. There was a worse one on Law and Order SVU that's ripped from the headlines, and so. This one, the case starts out with a prostitute being run over 7 times.
Wow.
And then they're like, because this guy was playing, they made up a thing that is GTA, but it's GTA.
Right.
And so they have to prove they finally arrest the kids who did it. And then the kids are like, these games made me violent. And so then the prosecutor has to prove they were already violent shits before they got the car. But the best part of is they prove that the kids hacked the game to make it more violent, and so that proves they're evil. And then she finds, like, these records, his online records of him talking about committing the murder. And she goes, now what does this say? I killed this guy and got away with it. LOL. And then she's like, what does LOL mean? She looks to the jury. What does it mean? Like, laughed out loud. She's like, I thought so.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's so LMFAO mean?
I mean, the nice thing about Wreck-It Ralph then is, like,
there's little things like references that, like, if you don't know video games, the idea of, like, oh, there's a half-completed level stuck inside of a volcano. Mm-hmm. If you don't know video games, it's like, okay, that's kind of funny. If you know video games, you're like, fuck, the GoldenEye Dam. Like, they do a good job of finding instances that if you're a gamer, the joke is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a gamer, it still works. They managed to not piss me off about getting gaming stuff wrong.
And just understanding the concept of what a first-person shooter is, what a save is, what a reboot is, like all that stuff.
They didn't screw anything major up, except for the fact that I can say this because it's not really a spoiler, but the fact that if you watch the trailer, like, Sonic's in there and it takes place in an arcade, and after seeing the movie, I'm like, what the hell game was Sonic in?
Yeah.
Like, all I can think is, like, maybe for parties they have, like, a Genesis. Yep. Like, I'm sure it works, but for a second I'm just like, I don't understand. So, yeah, if you can check the site now. And we have a list of the coolest things we learned about the game, such as why Mario's not in it, why where Easter eggs came from, why Frogger is in it.
Where Easter eggs come from?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can check that feature out.
Yeah, we got to interview the writers and director, and it was really cool. The director is Rich Moore, who was one of the original directors on The Simpsons. He directed his most famous episode is the monorail episode, which is one of the greatest half hours of television ever produced.
All right, and one more quick preview, Paper Mario Sticker Star. Now, there's a big preview on the site, so you can read that. We don't want to spend too much time on it, but just sum up for what does it hold? Is it as good as you hoped so far?
It's not what I thought it would be when they first announced the game, but I have learned, I've come to really like what it turned into. They've simplified a lot, like the Paper Mario, both the first Paper Mario game and the Thousand Year Door on the GameCube were very like straightforward RPGs, just a little easier, but it was leveling up, experience, inventory, right. All that stuff. In this, like, you, there is no experience, there's no MP, you can only use moves. Your move abilities are limited to the stickers you collect. Every sticker you collect is one move in a fight, and every time you use it, it's gone. And so
weird.
You have to collect or purchase hundreds of stickers, and it makes it so you have to conserve how many times you get into a fight. And the same kind of limiting your actions is they've really segmented the worlds. Like, you know, it used to be, oh, I'm in this new area. I will have to explore it for 2 hours to find the dungeon and then go to the dungeon in this area. Now they separate it in like a traditional Mario game of here's world one, here's 1-1 of the first world, 1-2, 1-3. And those only have about 5, like much smaller amount of real estate. And then you get to the goal and it takes you to 1-2 or 1-3. So
weird.
They've short, and there's also no more partners either. Mario's, well, not by himself. He has Kirsty, his new. He has Kirsty, who's basically Navi, except funnier. And also her name.
I can't imagine that's different.
And, does she yell, hey, listen, nonstop? No. Comedy gold, then.
Oh, and her name is a is Sticker. Has all the letters for Sticker. Well, not the letter C. Anyway.
Almost.
I don't know. It's
How do you spell Sticker?
Just keep going, okay. Keep going.
Anyway, it's I am really liking it. I thought I would hate the changes, but it's pretty good. And hopefully we will be getting a final version soon-ish so I can review it. Comes out in mid-November.
I'm just noticing your fingernails.
All right, so
what is actually going on here?
I've misplaced my
You realize
my nail
fingernail
clippers.
Clippers cost about
I just haven't gone to buy any new ones and they'll be clipped this weekend. I'm not making a
like,
statement.
You're like the prince of China at this point.
It's not. Yeah, I know. I'm not making a statement. I'm not secretly a drag queen
well.
On the weekend.
I mean, it's like a reptilian thing that you've got going on here. You could literally cut a man. Sorry, Paper Mario.
Anyway, that's it. Paper Mario, November 15th. I like it so far. The end.
We'll be right back. All right, Henry has just gone and clipped his nails, and and we're on to the third segment, which means
index finger
reviews. Right. Let's first start off with we have two indie-style games, starting off with Retrocession Rampage. This game works forever.
It started as a freeware version of and then the guys decided to make it into a full-fledged game. And it's really cool in some ways and not so fun in other ways. But if you are an old idiot like me who just wants to...
Which we all are.
Yeah.
You just want to relive your childhood and not think about how you're getting older and you just turned 30. Then then it's a really cool game in that way. Like, it's filled to the brim with video game references. I did a feature this week on the 21 coolest references in the game. And, like, you turn on the game, the first 15 minutes, there's basically 20 references in 15 minutes.
Right. And,
like,
and
very
not just,
clear ones.
Not just to gaming. It's just, and, like, not even just the retro stuff. Like, there's just a gigantic, nonstop Dark Knight references.
Yeah. The guy loves the Dark Knight. Like, that's very strange. That. But yeah, it's just all these, so many great things.
But what's not great about it?
What's not great is that it seems to think it's funny to have bad gameplay in it while making fun of it, which I don't like. It has a really boring escort mission, and then the characters at the beginning of the escort mission go, ugh, these are so boring, I hate them. Well, guess we better do it. And then it just starts like, no, you know it's bad. And there were just so many like that where... I hate the controls weren't working, or they would purposely give you shitty things to do with or more bad objectives, and And so, yeah, the gameplay just wasn't there a lot of the time. But
self-aware badness isn't always good. It's like one of my like rules of gaming is if you ever have an NPC say like, "Ugh, not another helicopter." Odds are the players are thinking that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you probably, like, if as a writer you're compelled to add that, it means to start cutting helicopters from the game.
Right. I mean, it is the extremity in laziness.
Right.
I'll also give a little plus, though, to Retro City Rampage is that it's one of those cross-buy games on the PlayStation. So if you buy it on PS3, you have a free version on the Vita and back and forth, and you can share saves. So that's really cool if you're one of those people who owns both and likes to take it on the road. If I had, I'm getting my Vita in about a week for the Assassin's Creed bundle. So it would have been really cool though to be able to just download to my Vita the game I was playing and play it on the BART.
Assassin's Creed, that was your killer app.
Hopefully.
Well, it's the white Vita though.
Do you
have a Vita yet?
No, I don't.
It was Assassin's Creed that was. Like
no,
that.
It was the new. Well, Assassin's Creed sort of really is Persona 4 Golden, which comes out 3 weeks later. But I like Assassin's Creed 3 enough that that's the version I will get to play Persona 4 on it.
Interesting.
Very cool. Right.
Other indie game this week actually came out this week. Right?
Well, for PlayStation Plus users, it was last week.
Yeah. Yes. So it actually launches to the 23rd, so very, very soon.
Tuesday.
Unfinished Swan.
The Unfinished Swan, right. So this started off kind of as like a prototype experiment for Ian Dallas while he was in college, he said. He was like, you know, experimenting with, you know, so many games give us like a clear list of objectives and you're always kind of like, oh, I got to go do this and now I got to do this and that propels the story. And he wanted to kind of experiment with, you know, what about the opposite of that? What if we have this world and these things to do in it, but you can't see any of it. And you explore this by actually, you know, tossing globs of paint and discovering and unveiling the world as you play.
It's essentially almost like the white room in The Matrix. But except because everything's white, like you don't see that there's a crate in front of you.
Right.
So you have to paint it in order to unveil it.
So it's what's really interesting is the story is kind of structured around like this fairy tale, which is really, really well told. And it kind of by the time you finish it, it's like, wow, that was a really cool story. And it does start off, it's kind of even confusing a little when you start because it doesn't ever tell you, okay, now the game's going, it's just like you're there and it's just, your screen is pure white. And then you just start pushing buttons and then a ball, like a paintball shoots out. And then you're like, oh, it's uncovering the scenery.
Sure.
And then it's not always that way. That's like the first 15 or 20 minutes of the game and it evolves and the world kind of starts to materialize a little bit as you play. But it is a really, really cool experiment and it's very... I don't know. There's just not anything else like that. It's kind of like in the same vein of like Journey or To the Moon. It's more of one of those interesting interactive experiences that are more focused on just exploring the world than completing an objective list.
I'm imagining something like The Blob where you're painting in that fashion. Is that?
No.
No, it's like it's a, like
you're
a
literally
first person.
Throwing, it's a first person. You're throwing blobs of paint.
Yeah, you toss paint.
And it's an infinite amount of paint?
Yes.
But it's
so
also,
just like randomly.
But the drawback is if you throw too much in an area, you start to just blot it all out in blackness. So it's like trying to figure out the right balance to uncover enough to be able to see everything without completely just burying it again.
It's almost essentially like if everything was, you know, essentially if like a reverse flashlight.
So yeah, the fairy tale is a lesson in moderation.
Yeah, I guess
in a way.
And is that what it's trying to? Because fairy tales are trying to teach you things.
Yeah,
right?
It's for him. It's more about like self discovery, and that's kind of also imposed onto the player. Like you kind of see as you, yeah.
So like, don't
it's a coming of age story.
Yeah,
don't
it is.
Things?
Well, it's more focused on.
Are we
going to
go psychoanalytic with this?
No, we don't need to. But
why not?
The main character Monroe is dealing with the death of his mother, so he steps in this magical world. And starts kind of.
That seems like it's asking to be psychoanalyzed with a setup like that.
Very possible.
Well, we don't have any psychos that can analyze it, so I don't know how we're going to handle that.
You're wrong.
What did you end up giving it?
I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
So it's even though it's sort of like To the Moon and Journey, not on that same level.
I think one of the problems that people might run into is it can kind of get boring at times, just tossing paint nonstop. I mean, that's what the game is. But it's
an allegory for life.
Still
right.
Totally worth checking out.
Occasionally get boring.
I gave Retro City a 3 out of 5.
Right.
So, just for the record, guys.
Yes. And the big game everyone actually cares about this week.
People should not care about 007 Legends.
Is 007 Legends. Now, let me, before Tom punches me in the face and starts yelling into his microphone. Let me explain what 007 Legends
is.
I
can't wait. Mm-hmm. What 007 did, what Activision did with this game is they shipped a game without an ending. They did that not because they're lazy, not because they're like, we ran out of time. I mean, maybe. But the reason why they did that is to keep the game out of used game bins. It's like to keep the game in disc so people are, you know, like when the game, because the movie comes out in 2 weeks.
Skyfall, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so they want you, the way the game is, according to Cooper.
Let me real quick explain how it begins. It's a framed story. It starts off with you on top of a train. You get shot, and then you fall off into the water.
This is the most
and each level is a flashback to a previous previous movie in the James Bond series. Except it's all Daniel Craig. And then when you get to the end,
isn't even a spoiler.
No,
after each
level, you like it cuts back to like bubbles and stuff, so you know like Bond is still underwater floundering, and then it goes to the next level, and then you go back to the water and it's floundering, and then the Moonraker level ends with you floating in space, and they're like, oh no, the space station's gonna blow up. Credits.
Yeah, so the way you find out how this thing ends is you download free DLC
second week of November.
And they're like, wait, whatever, it's free. But no, it's not like the whole reason why they're doing that is it doesn't matter if they're paying or not paying for it. It's like people can't buy it used because they're like, well, I just spent 10 hours in this game?
Like four and a half.
Like 4.5 hours in this game. And they're like, oh, well, I mean, it's free, so I'm not going to trade it in, but I'll wait until I trade it in. But everybody will realize, oh, this was a bullshit game and I shouldn't have bought it. And so it's just one more way in which Activision is dicking over consumers through this whole war on used games. And it's even more ridiculous because, I mean...
Yeah. I'm
You're not upset about this at all.
I'm upset about the lack of an ending. I'm just not as
You're
mad
not
about it as the used game
they're
thing.
They're basically manipulating the way that you are.
See, here's why I think it happens.
Okay.
So, Activision is not allowed to release a James Bond game after a Call of Duty game. They are seriously not allowed to do that.
According to
it would sell for as bad as it sells before a Call of Duty game, it would sell worse after.
All right.
Skyfall is coming out after Call of Duty.
Call of Duty is releasing on the 6th.
Skyfall comes out.
COD is like the 12th, I think.
COD is like the 12th.
It's usually second week of November. So,
all right, and Skyfall is on November 9th.
So the DLC is coming.
The game in tandem with the movie. Probably it would have come out. The movie would have come out on a Friday.
The game probably would have come out a few days before.
On the 6th.
Oh, well, if they do it on that week, then they're overshadowed by Halo. So
they were forced into a shitty situation. I still don't think it's forgivable that there's literally nothing. Like, the fact that the Moonraker level doesn't really end, like, each level ends with, like, oh no, Bond, you're escaping, and then you escape and you, like, make some kind of sexual harassment-style joke about a woman named, like, Pussy Hat or something, or Ivana Blowjob, I don't know, but you make that joke and then it goes, like, the fact that it didn't even end with, like, more of him underwater with more bubbles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need
couldn't even put that in.
Yeah, like, I'm not even upset that, I wouldn't have been upset. As upset if it would have been like Moonraker level ends, more bubbles and stuff, and then like it starts to fade to black, and then it says like it will be continued. James Bond will return in Skyfall DLC in a few weeks. It's the laziness of not even including a fraction. You can't bookend a game and then just be like, the second bookend's coming later. Like, you need to at least. Oh, also, the gameplay isn't great.
Oh, well. I mean, beyond
it's a stripped down Call of Duty with some interesting stealth and a really repetitive but kind of charming melee
system. So, if we extrapolated what Activision has done here for, say, you know, the next Call of, if this is something that is like other publishers, because this is the thing that publishers are doing, they're seeing like some success with a post-release strategy.
They're not going to see Relessa.
And if they're extrapolating this to other games, can you imagine? Like, oh, we'll release the game in 2 weeks, or the ending of the game in 2 weeks after this comes out. And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, that's how long it's going to take you to play through the game anyway.
See, I don't fear slippery slopes as much as you.
I don't know why you wouldn't be, because it's like we are seeing the game industry fall down these slippery slopes right and left.
I'm with Tom on this one. I think this is also the type of thing that a giant corporation like Activision, but also EA and all the other big publishers, they would test it out on a game that isn't their top thing.
Right.
They test out this kind of stuff on a James Bond.
I mean, EA tested out the online pass with, what, Tiger Woods? Like, they're not going to do that with Madden or FIFA or something.
Or selling cheats. They did that with Tiger Woods, too. So
it's like you choose the game that's going to die anyway and see if how badly people react to it. So I feel like it's almost our duty to be reacting poorly.
Oh, I'm reacting poorly because I think that this is something that it isn't inherently terrible if handled correctly.
I cannot envision example. A scenario in which this is handled
correctly. Yeah, I can't either.
Like I said, if they would have just made it so the game actually had a bookended ending and then it was like almost like the epilogue is in DLC in 2 weeks.
Well, I really hate it.
But it's not. It's the entire actual ending.
It didn't have to be because the ending doesn't have to be Skyfall level. It could have been James Bond just not drowning.
Well, do you guys remember Prince of Persia 2008? It had the epilogue DLC, which was like also it was a bad situation both ways because it was really inconsequential. Like, all it was just you running for another hour, and then the characters just do, like, separate anyway, and it's a cliffhanger.
Right. Well, I mean, Mass Effect did this too, didn't they? Mm. They just released another ending for the game.
Yeah, but that was...
It's more like a clarification.
That was, that wasn't... They didn't actually...
They can't just whip something up like that.
Did you play it?
No.
It's just fucking concept art with voiceover.
Oh, really?
A majority of it is concept art with voiceover.
Okay.
It maybe feels super whipped.
Maybe they can do a half-assed job on that and then release it.
Yeah.
See, I gave it a 2 or a 1.5.
Overrated.
Whatever. I think I gave it a 2. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel like I may have given it like a half point higher if there was a 30-second ending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and I'm not upset about epilogue DLC, essentially.
Yeah.
I just don't think because I think honestly, ending DLC and epilogue DLC would probably make people hold on to the game just as long. Mm-hmm. If you were like in 2 weeks, you're getting free DLC. Just the fact that it's literally like hard crash to credits.
Yeah, I don't like that it's being used as a strategy just to help a game they know is bad. Like they probably could just look at it and realize this has a 4-hour campaign. No one's going to play the online. Like once people
but the
buy
online's
this for
amazing.
Once people buy
it's
this
not,
for
I was joking.
Once people buy this for $50, of course 60, they're going to 60. Of course they're going to trade it in the next week. Like that's going to happen with everybody. So they can use this to delay that by just 2 weeks. Even that makes them X dollars more. You know,
a lot of X dollars.
Yeah,
because you're not going to be able to. Who would if you've committed this much time to a game and you know that there's free DLC coming out? You're probably not going to sell it back right away.
Yeah,
just because you probably want to play through the ending.
See, I think that the movie tie-in screwed them over because I have a feeling for as much of this was Activision's fault, it was probably a lot of like, oh, you can't spoil that scene from Skyfall. Well, you can't release the Skyfall game a month before the Skyfall movie.
Game companies have been making not one-for-one tie-ins
for a while. That's this whole game's shtick.
Well, that's the problem, really.
It is a one-for-one tie-in?
It's not so much a one-for-one tie-in, but like... The Moonraker level is the events of Moonraker. They're modified, but it's still like you're playing the climaxes of your favorite Bond movies. And for them to be like, those are all kind of true-ish. I mean,
doesn't it make sense for it to end in Skyfall? Whether or not that's right, and it's not, what they're doing. But the beginning of the game sounds like that, at least the scene from the trailer of Skyfall.
It is.
Bond. Okay, so... Yeah.
It makes sense for it. I mean, I think the thing is you're actually getting a full probably hour or 45-minute long level with this ending.
I think it might partially be MGM not wanting them to spoil Skyfall before it comes out.
What are you spoiling? James Bond kills the bad guy and has sex with at least 5 women.
But also, like,
Activision... All named Ivana.
All named...
Activision's had a bad... they've actually are sort of a victim here just because...
No, what?
No,
how can you possibly spin this...
No, just because they probably just wanted to make a straight Skyfall game, but because
do you really
Skyfall
believe the words
had,
are coming out of your mouth right now?
Skyfall had
poor
such
Activision
a,
being manipulated by a big old movie studio.
I just say that the production of
things
Skyfall
that are coming out of your mouth right now are nonsense.
All right, I'll just stop.
The ending result is that everyone in this situation loses.
Right.
Yeah.
The consumer, Activision, MGM. And that one guy who a few weeks ago commented angrily that we didn't expect 007 Legends to be the best shooter of the year.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. I mean, loses. No, we kind of need to make sure that Activision is not the winner in this, because Activision very well could be the winner in this if you all go out and buy this game and play along with these.
The
players.
Odds of that happening are so low.
Yeah,
they're pretty terrible.
Activision is just like, I was describing it earlier, where like every year EA releases a Madden game, and then a few weeks earlier they release an NCAA game, and the NCAA game is always like the baby version of the Madden game. That's essentially what the James Bond games have become to Call of Duty, where it's running on the previous year's Call of Duty engine.
NCAA football is usually pretty good.
Yeah. If you give a flying fuck about college football.
I give a flying fuck.
It's surprising that
can you believe
Cooper,
them Buckeyes? Holy shit.
It's surprising it's that Cooper doesn't care because he went to one of the winningest NCAA football team schools ever.
Yeah, all those wonderful unpaid athletes
yeah.
love being – it's a great amateur sport. It's
I
fantastic.
Know. They didn't fuck any kids.
They did, though.
No. Well, at his school, they
– Whoa.
He went to Penn. So
I did go to Penn State.
And I went to Ohio State.
I was telling the kids. I was telling the listeners, the kids.
Listen, kids, you need to know something about the people who coached at my school.
Yes,
they loved boys.
I like watching NCAA football because you're seeing people who are like, they're at the height of their
virility.
They're the best players they're going to be. Well, not the most experienced, but you know they have.
They're putting the most into
it. How football works.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's just bullshit that they don't like. They cut the schools are making a ton of money off it. Just share it with the students. Like
I refuse to watch it because of
that.
Well,
I mean, they share with the students in the football team
in a lackluster education.
By students, I mean share with the football players. They're earning you that money anyway. Just give it to them.
You're giving them a good education.
Oh yeah, wonderful education at every major college football.
Well, right. You're giving the science students. You're giving the English departments money to buy books.
Okay.
Because I know just Ohio State, at least, the ticket sales would always feed back into – that was like the biggest generator of revenue. Mm.
Well, they should still give money to the students that are actually
– they're animals.
They are horrible people. So
– as people who have been picked on by jocks our entire lives.
They just are terrible.
Just concussions. Go for it.
Wedgies. Yeah.
They deserve those concussions.
They deserve those concussions.
So that's it for the reviews. up to our community segment. Do we have a winner from last week?
So before we get to the winner for last week, 8-Bit Baby comments, you guys crapped on Dishonored so hard, and you're wrong or boring or your brain is broken. Either way, I suppose you're entitled to your opinion, but you're still wrong. It's a good game. 8-Bit Baby, you are absolutely correct.
What?
When I was talking about Dishonored, I had played the first game, and I stand by the fact...
First hour.
The first hour. And I stand by the fact that the first hour of that game is not good. Now that I am past the first hour...
Thank you.
It is a fabulous game.
Yes, I actually watched you delete a feature you had planned, shitting on slow beginnings for games... After, like, I just watched, I walked over to the computer and I just like, kind of looked up and was like, delete.
While you're on this topic,
that's the nice thing about being managing editor.
No one has, you have no oversight.
Yeah, what do you, no accountability whatsoever.
What do you think about Dunwall and the way the world is built? I am curious.
I'm not that far.
Okay.
I am in
you
the
mean
first.
Kirkwall.
I'm in the high commanders. I'm still playing through that level.
I would argue that Dunwall is as good as Rapture, easily.
I'm turning your mic off.
Dishonored is definitely a game that's heavily inspired by Bioshock.
Certainly.
I did turn your mic off.
You son of a bitch.
You're back.
And I feel like they're doing it very well. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to continuing playing this game. The way I play games, it takes me a goddamn eternity to play through them because I don't have to. And I feel like that's
I feel like we need theme music for you admitting you're wrong.
No,
it's probably going to happen a lot on the show.
8-Bit Baby, you are correct. Although you also go on to say that as a creator of stories, I'm horrified that you guys didn't explore the books and other texts in the game. I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like
I was honestly annoyed by the fact that the game's loading screens are like, here's a bunch of exposition that you have to read. Otherwise, this doesn't make sense. Like,
I mean,
fucking tell me. Tell, not show.
Yeah.
Show, not tell.
Show, not tell.
Show me, don't
read. I feel like
normally, I don't care for reading that stuff, but I will say in the case of Dishonored, it is worthwhile.
Yeah.
All right. In a week, we'll come back and say we're wrong and we loved all the books in Dishonored.
But, yeah, we appreciate your comment there.
So what was the question of the week last week?
Question of the week is the first game that you realize that, you know, this game's kind of balls.
First game you didn't like.
This game, I really...
It's kind of balls.
Bladed Falcon writes in, Mutant Chronicles, Doom Troopers. It's been a while, but I still have a very vivid and bad memories about this SNES game. When I played it back when I was probably around 8 or 9 years old, I had it rented. What I saw when I started playing it was the most unpleasant, disgusting, dark-looking game I had seen at the time, and it left a really bad taste in my mouth, and impression in my mouth. Bad taste and impression.
And other
A bit of a mixed metaphor there.
Salty surprise right in my mouth.
It has to be a really heavy thing in your mouth to leave an impression.
That would be difficult.
Mouth jokes.
Bobby Potluck writes in, for me, it took a while growing up. All the NES, SNES, and Mega Drive games my family owned were good games. Same with the N64. It took till the start of the GameCube cycle, which we got launched when I was about 8, with Rogue Squadron, Sonic Adventure 2, Battle... and Luigi's Mansion, for me to play some and realize I was playing a bad game. The game was PN03.
PN03.
Oh, that game was not very good.
Yeah.
First, one of the Capcom 5.
Graphics were amazing at the time. Music was good. Also, Hot Chick, yay. Not the worst game ever made, sure. But it's a corridor shooter and is basically a white hallway the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Count.
Is that the only Capcom 5 game that didn't get...
I think it was the crappiest one, apparently, because it did not... Yeah, because Killer 7 even went.
And, yeah. Yeah. Nothing.
Which I'm not saying Killer 7 is crappy, but I am saying it's the crappier, weird. Yeah. That it, yeah.
Count Richtenoff, Pokemon Channel for the GameCube.
Oof.
Thought that I really liked it when I first played it, and then a few months later I came back and realized it was incredibly boring.
It's a proto-Wii game because it's just a minigame collection.
Yes.
This is a controversial one. Hot Dog Killed You, the original Legend of Zelda. I was young and could not figure out what to do and thought it was stupid because it was top-down sprites instead of chunky polygons like Ocarina. To be honest, I still don't care for it.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I was going to say I agreed with that guy, but he was playing it after Ocarina. Like, what?
Right.
That's a totally... I played it, and I just didn't get it because, to me... I thought all video games were side-scrollers, and so playing an open-ended one where you don't run from left to right, it confused me very much. Like, I didn't know what was going on.
With non-linear gameplay.
Yeah.
Rod the Master. As much as I now regret this fact, the first game I remember disliking was Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
What?
When my he regrets it. When my best friend attempted to show me this particular game, my 6-year-old self did not see a brilliant goth-inspired adventure with gorgeous sprite animation and visuals. Nor did I see a technical and innovative milestone in side-scroller game design. Nor did I see a game that would come to define a franchise and single-handedly sustain a genre for years to come. No, I saw a boring, old-looking game that was dumb and stupid and too confusing and too hard. Oh, how wrong I was. As much as I regret passing on such a great game, I regret even more my decision to play Spyro the Dragon and Crash Bandicoot.
So who is the winner?
Well, before we get to that, I must say, have you ever played the original Castlevania for the NES?
I don't like it.
I played it a ton as a kid.
I remember going through the game trying to find stuff and just throwing holy water at every single brick to try to reveal... It was
balls hard and way too obtuse, but I still love the music. The music is awesome.
So our winner this week is Unoriginal. Hopefully you're in the U.S.
Yeah, note, you have to live in the U.S. and you can only win one thing a year.
That's right. Anyway, horny teenagers do the darndest things. Earlier in my life, when my hormones first began flowing, there came along a game called Spider-Man the Movie, based on Spider-Man the Movie. A friend of mine told me that there was a cheat in the game where you could play as Mary Jane, and at the end of the game, Mary Jane, and have a lesbian kiss with her, with herself due to Peter Parker's character model being replaced by Mary Jane. This blew my 13-year-old mind. And the next day, I marched to my shitty local grocery store, which at the time was the only place in my hometown that carried any games, and to my great pleasure, it was there. So I started playing and learned that playing a Spider-Man game as anyone other than Spider-Man is kind of meh. Punching Vulture as Mary Jane just doesn't have the same feel to it. Playing the game as Mary Jane, I could see past the game's license and judge the game on its core mechanics, which were shit. Shit combat, shit level design, and shit swinging mechanics. This was new for me. I had never been bored by a game in my whole life, and the story doesn't even have a happy ending because Mary Jane still talks with Tobey Maguire's voice. That, as it turns out, is a huge turnoff. That game left me dissatisfied in so many ways.
Oh, that is so good.
Unoriginal, you have left us satisfied. Will be sending you a copy of Pokemon Black and White 2.
No.
White version 2.
White version 2.
No.
Black version 2.
No.
That was last.
Totally
no, no, no. This person won either Pokemon the last White story for the Wii.
What?
For this is that what you're thinking? That's for next week. That's for the winner of the next week one.
This
guy won either the last story for the Wii or I think either the God of War or the Infamous Collection, whichever one we have left. We get to pick which one of those two he wants.
Both of those games. And, either way, you're going to get a better game.
And if you don't have either of those systems, we'll dig up something else. Yeah, we'll be another Fable
Journey
kind of
game. Some random
useless junk
we have lying around the office.
If you really, like Blackwater or something. Yeah. Question of the week for this week. Playing off of Wreck-It Ralph a little bit. What video game do you think should be turned into a movie?
Ooh. What video game?
Well, I think I'll go first. This is a pretty obvious one, but Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid. It was screaming. People could say that it's always wanted to be a movie, like since Kojima started making it with all the cutscenes and everything and all that dialogue. But at least the first Metal Gear would make a good movie. It is just an action film concept. One guy is trapped in a place and he is fighting all these different people, and it has a pretty clear linear story.
It's almost like James Bond meets Die Hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Just trying to escape a building.
And they actually recently announced that they were trying again to make the movie, and like they have the producer on it. It's all-star producer Avi Arad, who made Spider-Man happen. Like, that's his big claim to fame, is that he got the wheels moving to make a Spider-Man movie. So he says he's going to he'll get it done with Metal Gear, though it should be known that he was also the guy who 5 years ago said he was going to make a WoW film, and that never happened.
Anyone else have a...
I think Psychonauts would make an excellent...
Oh, yeah.
Do it Inception style.
That horn noise all the time?
Yeah. I think that would be excellent.
I know it's been made into one in Japan, but I really want a live-action Professor Layton movie. Mm. I feel like it would essentially be a Sherlock Holmes movie, except Sherlock Holmes, even though I love Robert Downey Jr., wouldn't be like an ass.
Yeah.
It would just be super gentleman.
We were talking about that earlier today.
We were.
We could watch Robert Downey Jr. basically pick his nose.
Bathe. Oh, sorry.
Bathe. Something else.
If you have a video of Robert Downey Jr. bathing, don't send it to us at
radioradar.com.
Yeah, that'd be weird if you sent us that. But I want a Leighton movie.
Especially
and I want a live action.
radioradar.com, because that doesn't exist.
No. I think it would be a cool. I think it'd be a cool movie if they did it right, because it's just he has such a different personality than most characters in gaming and movies. And I think it would be cool. And that, I think, just you'd get to do all those characters with ridiculous facial hair. It's like some makeup artist would just have a dream come true of just being like, all right, this guy's mustache, size of his arm. Go!
I think, personally, I'd like to see one either based on the StarCraft or Warhammer 40K universe. I think that might be potentially pretty cool.
Warhammer 40K in the vein of like a Lord of the Rings movie?
You know, I guess I don't really have much frame of reference other than, like, I remember...
Like a Starship Troopers movie.
Except not...
As amazing? Why would you want it
if
to be less
gonna
amazing?
If you're going to talk crap about Starship Troopers, then I'm not going to...
Turn your mic off again.
I was not even going to go there on Starship Troopers because that movie is amazing.
I love how you, like, turn your mic off. Hang on a second.
I don't want to turn my own mic off. People need to hear me.
Right.
So you think StarCraft would probably... I think StarCraft, as long as Blizzard's writers aren't allowed anywhere near it.
Yeah. You could just watch Starship Troopers and pretend it's a StarCraft movie.
Except every so often when a character talks, just have them yell out like a cliche. A bigger cliche, I guess.
A bigger cliche, yes.
This is a shrinking pool because there's just like a lot of gay movies that are...
There's been so many that are just awful.
I'm looking at the Hitman skin that's on our website.
Yep. Hitman the movie, which I still think they should make a good one of.
And soon there's going to be a Silent Hill movie's coming out like any day.
The second one.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the actress they have and her costume, she looks exactly like whatever Silent Hill character she's supposed to be.
And they've got like Halo movies are in the work.
And Need for Speed movie.
Assassin's Creed.
Need for Speed movie with the guy from...
Aaron Paul
from Breaking Bad.
Gatorade me, bitch.
Yeah, he's going to yell bitch at some point, and I'm going to cry with laughter. I can't even remember the actor's name, the guy who's doing Assassin's Creed.
Michael Fassbender,
who is just a fucking chameleon into any role he's in, so he's a good good
That's
pick
the
for
best
that.
Casting. I still don't think it'll. I think none of these films will come out.
None of them are ever coming out. Never. So that's the show for this week.
Promotion?
Bunch of cool stuff. Bunch of cool stuff. So today, Games Radar posted its 100 best video game heroes.
What?
And some of the other 100 lists we've done recently have been kind of. They're essentially just 100 things. This is like full entries for all of them, explanation for all of them, and 100 different characters that we think should be on the list. But actually, right now, there's only 90, and we're letting you comment to help us fill out the rest of the list, because instead of us missing them and then sitting around cursing that we forgot someone, we'd rather you just point it out to us.
We've already missed some and have sat around cursing that we forgot.
I actually added Professor Layton.
Oh, did you?
Like 10 minutes before it went. I was just like, wait!
Yeah.
Why isn't Layton on this movie in this list? And I just deleted another entry that I had written and placed it.
Bayonetta, I'm sure, will be a fan favorite.
I've heard some people rumbling about that. So that's on the site. Other than that,
You can find us at GR Radio Radar on Twitter.
You sure can. And if you do that, you should probably retweet something so we can get more Twitter followers. Because the more Twitter followers we get, the more likely we are to use it a lot and to talk to you and to give away stuff.
Right. You need to. Well. Sometimes. We would like to think that we have enough time to use it.
No, I mean, the more people that follow, the better chance that we're going to do giveaways and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's true. Games Radar has a Twitter feed.
Yes.
We have a Facebook, GamesRadar.com on Facebook.
Yes.
What else we got?
We got a website, GamesRadar.com.
We got a website. Mm. If you like the show, go to iTunes and rate our show.
You should.
Yeah, man, 5-star ratings are so nice to get.
They're so nice and they're so fun.
Right. Also, written reviews that say nice things. And you know what? If you give a written review and give us 5 stars and still say something mean, I will still appreciate that.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Especially if you say something mean specifically about Henry's fingernails in the 5-star ratings. He's cool with that.
Yeah,
or you explain why Mario sucks and has long fingernails. Right. I think he'll be okay with that.
I think he'll be okay with
and
that.
And you can also send us emails at radioradar@gamesradar.com.
That is correct. And do we have anything else to whore out?
That's nothing. A lot of stuff.
I have nothing a feature. Else.
No, we don't. That's okay. What is it?
No, I had a bunch this week. I don't know. Weirdest spinoffs. Look at that one, guys.
Just go to Games Radar and look at everything. Anyway. And we will talk to you next week. All right, so let's flip them. I went Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
I went The Sims.
Halo.
Fruit Ninja.
All right, I'll go first. The reason Skyrim's like a comfy pair of slippers is just like when if you take a break from Skyrim or if you're super into Skyrim, when you leave and go do your regular world stuff, working, whatever it is you do, and you get back and you load up Skyrim, you jump into the body of your own personal Dovahkiin, it's so comforting, you're so used to that world. It's just like when you get home, kick off your shoes and put on your comfy slippers. You're going right back into that world every day for like 3 months straight.
Skyrim is more like a pair of hiking boots because, holy shit, that world's huge and it's exhausting to explore. But The Sims, on the other hand, you're slipping right into the shit you do in your life every single day. You wake your Sim up and you're like, man, I should find a job and maybe have babies. And you do exactly that. It's comforting because it's a virtual life. Every day I wake up and have babies.
You know what?
today's the day.
It's a virtual life where... You know, you can fuck it up, but still have a lot of fun doing stuff that you do any day.
All right.
Well, I think if you want a stressful, repetitive ordeal, then that's Sims. If you think that's what footwear, comfort, slippers are like, I'd say
Halo. That explains why you never wear shoes.
I say Halo is the comfy slippers of this analogy because it's you get so used to it. It's so familiar, just the basic controls and concepts of it. Let alone, you know, maps like Blood Gulch. It just feels so comfortable and familiar once you just slip back into it. It's just easy. It just goes like that. Just boom. I'm back into Halo.
So I picked Fruit Ninja. And Fruit Ninja is like, you know, when you go home and you've
no,
reached that
I don't have a career where I ever go home.
Where just the other person is like, all right, fuck it. I know you. None of us are going to do any better. I'm just going to wear my fluffy slippers and that's the thing that
and
we're going to do.
And sweatpants.
Fruit Ninja is like that. It's like, you know, this is going to be mindless and it's going to be fun, but whatever. And it's functionally the same as, you know, masturbating at that point. Because Fruit Ninja is just the same motion all over.
Until just goo goes all over the place.
Until, no, there's no goo anymore.